And we're going to begin reading in verse number 25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee." So, we could assume that how much time has passed at a minimum, since he's basically saying, hey, we're paid up, time to roll. 14 years, right? Because we have this whole 7-year period here, and kind of like his own tribulation period. And then he had another 7, and so this one is for Leah, and this one is for Rachel, and he marries them presumably around the same time, okay? So, all righty. And we're going to find out here shortly that there is another period of time here until he actually does leave town. So he says, all right, we're paid up. It's time to leave. And in verse 27, Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. Now, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake." Learned by experience is one Hebrew word. And it's only used 2 other times in our King James Bible, 2 other times in the Hebrew Old Testament, and the other 2 times it's translated divined. I don't know, does anyone have that in their version right here today? Okay, so see a lot of hands and head nods. So, yeah, and it's the same Hebrew word. It's the idea where Laban was kind of, they had kind of magical acts, idolatrous acts, where they could determine whether or not something was so, you know, this is all the way through the Old Testament, really. And you find it later on with Joseph. He had a cup by which he divined, it says. And that's how it's translated later in the King James Bible. So in any case, it appears that Laban is saying, I've determined by fact of my religion, I've determined by fact of some mystical things that I have performed, that the reason I am blessed is because of you, he says to his son-in-law. And he said unto Jacob, "Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it." Well, now Jacob is really in the driver's seat, isn't he? You know, just tell me what you want to stick around, because whatever you're doing is working, and I don't want to lose you. Okay? And verse 29, he said unto them, "Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me." Now, as we read through this passage, there are a ton of words being used, and this word cattle is a general term for just herd, just a herd, livestock. It does get to be a little bit more specific here in just a moment. Jacob says, I was in charge of basically your entire farm, and it went well. Verse 30, "For it was a little which thou hadst before I come, and it is now increased into a multitude. And the Lord had blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also?" What's he saying? My wallet is still thin. The only thing I have in it is a library card. I need something else. And so my question is, what is he? Did he see this coming because he was saying, give me my wives and kids? Well, how is he planning on financing that migration south? Makes me kind of think Jacob knew this would probably happen. It's kind of one of those things where I remember one of the many jobs I had as a late teen and early 20s person is I tried selling cars for a month. I can't believe that. I think I sold one, and it was with help. I mean, it was a pitiful display. But I remember one of the things I had to sell. Huh? I did not thank my mom. Oh, man. I'm suppressing some comments to you, Greg. All right, so I won't say anything about anyone's. Okay, so here we go. So anyways, I had to sign something that said that I wouldn't sell cars within an hour's drive of that establishment because they were training me. What were they trying to make sure? That's right. They were trying to make sure that they weren't going to train me to go somewhere else and sell cars for someone that could be competition for them. Really, they would have lost nothing if I did. But in any case, I mean, I drove a 1986 Taurus. And it had been totaled twice, okay? Yes, that's correct. It was salvaged, and then I totaled it hitting what did I hit? Yes, I remember. I was on my way to building chicken houses in Beachmont, Kentucky, okay?
And this guy stopped in the middle of the highway to look at someone who had wiped out in the ditch. Well, what did I do? I looked at the guy that was in the ditch and I hit the guy in front of me and stopped on the highway. So I already had a once total course. What was the year? Never mind. It's really recent for some of us, so forget it. But so I come rolling onto that Ford dealership with my 86 Ford Taurus that I'm going to sell cars, right? And the bumper is hanging down like this, you know, like, and one of the headlights is gone, missing. Just, I don't know what happened to it. Not sure. But in any case, they realized that if I was driving that, I probably couldn't sell Expeditions and Navigators. So, I mean, you just can't think that big when, you know, you're making $250 a week and driving a twice totaled Ford Taurus. So, in any case, those are great chapters, weren't they? I'm glad we're not living in that book anymore. So he said, look, you do not want me moving 5 miles away and doing this cattle thing. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Yeah, I mean, isn't that possibly what Jacob is doing here? I need some financing to move. I don't have it. You do. So I think the best thing for me to do is to suggest that I leave. You know? And Laban, the father-in-law, knows that Jacob really doesn't have anything of his own other than just consumers, which is, like it or not, dependence. We all consume. I think we all have to eat. And so what does he do? He suggests that they leave. And so he is ready to name his price. Verse 31. And he's willing to acknowledge, by the way, that yes, Laban, yes, father-in-law, you did profit by me. When I got here, you had nothing, and now you have lots. You're worth what it takes to replace you. You know, I think I should make $15 an hour. Why? When we could pay someone 10 tomorrow to replace you. That's the kind of idea. Jacob is now 14 years of experience. 14 years of experience. Now, do you think he only had 14? How old was he when he left town? Do you remember? We're told how old Esau is when he gets married, right? And by that time, Jacob is probably not married. So we're told that he was 40. Esau was 40 when he got married. Jacob and Esau were twins. Jacob left town after he fooled Esau. So Jacob is more than 50 years old now. And he probably, based on Genesis 24, Abraham was rich. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, told Laban, isn't that strange, full circle, here we are, he's trying to get Laban's sister, Rebekah, to come back with him. And what does he say about his master, Abraham, and his son? Rich, right? Lots of stuff. So Isaac is rich. Isaac has everything Abraham had, which is probably thousands of head of livestock, right? And so Isaac has two sons. Do you think Jacob already knew a little something about raising livestock? So probably Jacob has almost 50 years of experience of this thing. And Jacob is willing to tell Laban, look, you are definitely profiting because I'm here. Right? So, verse 31. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. All right, let's think back. Remember, we are students of Genesis. Do you remember anything in Genesis so far where someone said, don't give me anything? You can't answer. Anyone else except Walter can answer. Walter? Yes, when? When did Abraham tell someone, don't give me anything? And he said, don't give me anything other than what these guys that were with me have eaten. Yeah, when he went to rescue Lot, who did he tell, keep your stuff?
The kings of that area.
A particular king. Yes, you're right. There were like nine kings involved with that thing. Which king tried to give him some spoils? Say it again. Yeah, the king of Sodom. Great, Blanche. Yes. And so Abraham says, keep your stuff other than what these men have eaten. Okay? So this is kind of a theme. I'm not saying that only Abraham's line thought like this. I am saying Abraham did. And then there's also something we're going to see later on in the book of Genesis. Can you think of a parallel of someone profiting because of the presence of God's person? It'll be later in Genesis. So if you haven't studied the rest of the book, you're off the hook. Okay. That's right. Everything, it says that God caused everything that Joseph did to do what? to prosper. Yep. So first Potiphar's house and then Pharaoh's house. Both of them were made better simply because of the presence of God's person, God's man in the context. That's true too. Yeah, that's three examples, isn't it? We find out three times in the book of Genesis that Joseph was given charge. He basically ran the joint wherever he went. First was Potiphar's house, then it was the jail, and then also Pharaoh, where Pharaoh even said, there's no one that's your boss other than me. You are second in the nation. So here again, and by the way, where do we see this previous in the book of Genesis where someone profited from the presence of God's man in this? Jim, I'm waiting for you, brother, because you're the one who pointed this out to me. Think Chamber of Commerce. What episode are we talking about? Anyone remember?
Yeah, where Abraham's outside, Abraham and Isaac outside the, Abraham first, and then Isaac got run off, which didn't make sense.
Right.
Outside of...
Starts with an A. That's right. Yeah, Abimelech. What is it? Abimelech, son of a king, I think is what that means. I think John taught that lesson. So we're seeing a lot of themes through the book of Genesis. And you say, well, what good does it do me this morning? Well, probably it won't make you a better Christian today. But if you think about the fact that God is interested in blessing people through you, they don't even have to have your testimony for them to a workplace to be better simply because you're there. And God wants to make your job better, wants to make the world you're touching better. And when you leave, it'd be very clear that the reason God was blessing the joint was because you were there. You know, Don, you're retiring here in what? A month. It's going to be pretty clear to a lot of people that their place was better when you were there. It's going to be pretty clear. You're a man that you're not perfect like me. We have a lot in common other than the fact we're losing our hair or have lost it. We have a lot in common. We're both men, sinners. And when we're in places, God blesses the whole joint because we're there, you know. So in as humble a manner as we possibly can, we can walk into a place tomorrow and say, hey, the party's here. You know, why? Because God blesses me. And so because God blesses me and my cup runs over, y'all get to partake. Right? Yeah. That's a biblical perspective. Yeah, I am the rainmaker. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So just be aware that God is blessing the place because you're there. And it could be what? Is it just the workplace you're dealing with? What else could it be? Family? Neighborhood? That's right. Yeah. How about a country? You know, I don't think all of America needs to repent for God to bless it. Y'all with me? Didn't we get that from our passage? All righty. So let's see. Verse 32. I will pass through all thy flocks today, removing from them all the speckled and spotted cattle. All right, here we go. Speckled and spotted. So we're going to talk about this word cattle. Now, I am fully aware that there are other versions. So I only have one up here. And so if yours doesn't read like mine, let's just take it in order here. But we have today speckled and spotted cattle. All right. And that is in verse number 32. Now, that word cattle is not the general term for livestock. It is actually the term for flocking of grazers, okay? And how many of you know that not every kind of livestock grazes, okay? So we have the grazers, okay? And we're talking about spotted and speckled. Now, what does spotted mean? Well, it comes from a Hebrew word that means covered with pieces. So strange. So it might look like a painted, you know, a kind of a painted, painted. That's a different word. So yeah, but a painted pony, that kind of thing, right? Yep. And then we have speckled, all right? Now, we have spotted and speckled grazers there in verse number 32, all right? And so I'm going to put over here verse 32. And then where else do we find this kind of animal mentioned? We find them mentioned also, and don't get confused with the English, because sometimes it's not translated the same, I'm afraid. No translation committee was exactly perfect. So we have spotted and speckled cattle, Jacob said. I'm going to go through and I'm going to look at them. All the brown cattle. So that's another word, all the brown cattle. So he also labels them as brown. All right. Spotted and speckled grazers, brown grazers, same Hebrew word. Among the sheep,
Now, you're never going to guess what the Hebrew word for sheep is. Sheep. Particularly young ones. It's the Hebrew word for lamb or young sheep. And it says they were going to look for the brown. The brown describes the sheep or the lambs. So I'm going to move this up here, and that's verse number 32. Same word. All right. So we have spotted and speckled grazers, brown lambs. Okay. I always want to say lamb because it's just kind of like fish. You don't say fishes. It's just kind of just a problem. I don't know. It's just deep-seated conviction, I guess. Brown cattle among the lambs. Okay, so common word. So you have grazers that are spotted and speckled, and then grazers that are lambs that are brown. So he's being specific, even though it looks like they're just being real general. He's being really specific. And then the spotted and speckled among the goats. Now, this is a Hebrew word that is for female goats. So the Hebrew is she-goats. And the she-goats, we're dealing with spotted and speckled she-goats. So they were pretty specific about this. All right? And of such shall be my hire. And then Jacob says this, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. Now, this is a great phrase, but what does it mean? It's in the Hebrew, it's two judicial terms. One is righteousness and the other is answer. In other words, he's saying, you're not going to find me guilty in any court of law for what I am going to do. You'll see when it's all said and done. All right? When it shall come for my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats. Now that is the same word, she-goats. He says, if you come by after our deal is done and you find a she-goat that is not spotted or speckled, if you come among my cattle and find a lamb that is not brown, same Hebrew word, that shall be counted stolen with me. All right. So that is a mouthful. He says, if you come around and you see that I have anything that doesn't fit this criteria, you can call me a thief in a court of law. So far, so good. All right, so let's see what Laban says. Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats. Now, he-goat is one Hebrew word, and it means he-goat. Okay, it's just in English, it's two words, and in Hebrew, it's one word. It's different than this word here. It's a different Hebrew word altogether. So he went among them and took the he-goats that were ring straight. Oh my goodness. So we got he-goats that are ring straight. Now, what do you think that means? Probably someone can help me with a modern version in here. That's right. It just means striped. Yep. Ring straight. So Laban goes and he picks the ring straight. Now, why would he do this, folks? They just made a deal. Jacob said, I'll take all. Now, we don't know how long this little arrangement is going to last just yet. It's not given to us. They're making a deal. I'll tell you what I'll do, Laban. You let me have all the spotted and speckled grazers, all the brown lambs, all the spotted and speckled she-goats, and that will be my hire. And if you find anything that doesn't fit that criteria among the flocks, I'm a thief. Okay? And so what does Laban do? He removes all the he-goats that are striped. Huh? Well, he's fixing the deck is what he thinks he's doing. All right? And all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted. So Laban says, I'm going to get rid of the striped he-goats and all the spotted and speckled she-goats. And everyone that had some white in it. And all the brown among the sheep. That's that word. Just to make sure you're looking at it. That's that word lamb. So he's taking everything that basically fits the criteria of the deal, and he pulls it out of the flock. All right? And gave them to the hand of his sons. What'd you say? Yes, basically anything that would produce more of them, right? And he separates them, according to verse 36, 3 days' journey. I would say that would pretty well assure that there'd be no wanderers back to the pure flock. Okay? But in doing this, look who he gave it to. Laban gave it to who? Laban gave it to his sons, or Jacob's cousins and put them 3 days' journey away. We don't want any goats wandering back and giving your cousin some more wages, okay? But the good news is, who can think of a positive here? 3 days away. That's true. But that also means that they're not around to watch what's about to happen. So let's take a look. Verse 37. Jacob took him the rods of a green poplar and of the hazel, which by the way is the Hebrew word luz, which was the name for Bethel before it was named Bethel by Jacob. It means almond. So you have a poplar tree, an almond tree, a chestnut tree, and pilled or peeled white streaks or stripes or patches in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. So he takes sticks from these trees, peels them a little bit, and what does he do? He set the rods, verse 38, which he had peeled stripped, before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am not a farmer. Some of the things my wife tells me that she saw on the farm, I want to donate yesterday's lunch when I hear that stuff. You know, well, why even talk about it? So I don't have any idea how that worked. And I would say that you have probably 20 different study Bibles out there with good ideas. But here's what I know. A chapter ago, they were trying to make reproduction work through plants, like mandrakes. And many of you had some good feedback on what that was. So I guess I'm not surprised that they're doing this whole thing with vegetation and whatnot with their animals. But just offhand, does anyone have any first-hand knowledge of how that worked? Is everyone comfortable saying that maybe we don't have a thorough understanding of how this worked? But it looks like, Christy mentioned that maybe it was the scent. It made certain animals want to conceive or make them able to conceive. And verse 39, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. So not only did they breed, they bred the right kind of animals for Jacob. Strange. Maybe that's something to do with the seasons. Maybe, I don't know. And yet we absolutely declare in society that we're getting smarter. Yeah, like a chemical reaction of somehow the water with it. Later in the next chapter, Jacob tells his wives, God blessed me. Well, it's a combination in Jacob's mind because it was just God blessing. He wouldn't have peeled the branches. But also in the previous chapter, Leah says that God blessed her womb, even though, and it says, because of the price of the mandrakes. So she says it was this natural, what was the word, pheromone? This natural release, this natural chemical reaction, whatever it was both for Leah in her perspective, and it was both for Jacob in his perspective. Clearly, even if it was God using that instrument, or God using, or God acting despite the instrument, clearly the instrument is part of the story. And apparently, it had a track record of working, because Jacob, it doesn't show any hesitation in him using this plan. Verse 39, and the flocks conceived before the rods. There is clearly a connection between them. That's true, but let's notice as well that the flocks conceived before the rods. Now, look at verse 40. And Jacob did separate the lambs. Which ones? The ones that were born brown. And he separated them and set the faces of the flocks towards the ringstrake and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. It came to pass, when the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters. They still had to drink, even when the rods weren't in there. But the story makes a connection between the rods and the breeding. But they still had to drink water. So all the cattle are drinking water. The story makes a connection between rods in the water and conception. Because they're drinking even when there's not rods in the water. And apparently the story leads us to believe that there was no conception occurring. Half a century? Might know a little about this. Yeah. I think we're falling behind when we tell our children they need to find something to do when they're 20. I think we should start a little younger. You know? I think we should. I mean, Jacob, no question, has 20 years on the average high school graduate on this stuff. Yes, and we've introduced that possibility, but the passage makes a connection between what he's doing and the conception. Because in verse 39 it says they conceived, and then again in verse number 41, when the stronger cattle did conceive, Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. I think that's true. And so there are really two challenges that Jacob had. Number one, get the ring-streaked, speckled, brown, spotted, and keep having them. And make them the stronger ones. Because that's what it says happens. When the stronger ones, verse 41, conceived, he put the rods before the gutters. Verse 42, but when the cattle were feeble, he didn't put them in. He didn't want the feeble cattle breeding. Okay? Hang on. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, camels, and everyone's favorite King James word, asses. All right? Go ahead, Mary. But there were none to start with. That's what I'm trying to make sure that everyone gets. There were none that fit that. All I want to do is make sure that we come away from this passage knowing there's a connection between what the farmer did and the result. But I'm thinking that there really is a natural connection between what the farmer did and the result. It might not have been all to blame, but I think there was a connection. Real quick, I want to read one more verse, and I'm going to come to Everett, then we're going to close this thing. Verse 1 of chapter 31, And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. So you can see the first cousins are thinking, we're losing our inheritance, right? So I just wanted you to be aware that 3 days' journey wasn't so far that news didn't travel, you know, because they were over there with Jacob's pre-existing flock. Remember? Spotted, speckled, striped, brown. They're over there, 3 days' journey with Jacob's flock, and Jacob is with Dad's flock, and he's making more Jacob flock. Right. And I also want to make sure that I'm being clear here that God is blessing the monotheistic idea. I mean, there's no question that God is blessing. I know He is, but we see that He's using human ingenuity. And appreciate the reminder of recessive genes and dominant genes. Good. Let's pray.